tell you what she has to say. So she has a lot of stories about her ancestors and how they were at the manger and what they saw. And so that's just a little preview of what you will hear some of on Christmas Eve. You will hear some of Wilhelmina's story about what it was like to be a little sheep, a lamb, in the manger where Jesus lay. So this morning, unfortunately, one of the things I have in my sermon is a No Zoom today?
No Zoom.
Okay. This is all for the record. One of the things I did have in my sermon today is a lovely quote, which I won't be able to completely remember, but I'll talk about the gist of it when I get to the end. So here Jesus is, and he's out, and he's doing his Jesus thing. And suddenly this group comes up to him, and they are disciples of John the Baptist. And they say to Jesus, you know, what's the story? What's going on? Are you the real deal? John wants to know. He wants to know if is he suffering for nothing, or is it okay? Because he's willing to suffer for Jesus. But I don't know that he's willing to suffer for no reason. I don't know of any of us that are. So Jesus responds to John by telling him to look and see what you see happening in the world. What do you hear about? Are you hearing that people are seeing, that we're blind? Are you hearing that the deaf can hear? What are you hearing? The lame are walking. Look for the evidence of who I am in the world, and yes, indeed, I am who I say I am. Then Jesus turns to the people who have gathered there. And we don't know much about that, but there are people gathered there, come to listen to Jesus. And he turns to them, and he tells them, you know what? He says, this is the person that the prophets told us about. He's the one. He's the one who Isaiah says that his messenger will be sent ahead and will prepare a way, prepare your way. Now, one of the things that we talk about in Advent is waiting. We talk about patience. And I don't always have a lot of either one of those in a good way. I'm really good with patience and waiting. When I'm ready to do something, I want it to happen right now. But Advent reminds us that what we are waiting for, even though it's difficult, what we are waiting for is the greatest thing that ever happened in this world. And gives us the time to reflect on, is this true? And if it is, what do we do with this truth? So what Jesus does is he tells them to listen to John the Baptist, because he is the one who's prepared the way. And then he says something really interesting. He says, truly I tell you, among those born of women, no one has risen greater than John the Baptist. Yet the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Wow. I wonder what the people thought about that. What do you mean, the kingdom of heaven? See, we can look at this and what Jesus is saying, and we can say, okay, he's talking about the kingdom of heaven, the eternal kingdom of heaven, and John is a great man. But what John has to offer, the calling out of what's going to happen in the world with Jesus' ministry, is nothing compared to what it is that we have to look forward to. Now, I'm not always good with looking forward to things either. I want things to happen right now. And the people in Jesus' time were ready for things to happen right now also. They were ready for Jesus to come. But Jesus didn't come. And he hasn't come yet, but he will. And we need to be ready. We're told over and over again that we need to be ready. So, you know, I get all into this contemplative stuff about Advent and what it means to wait and what we're waiting for. And then right in the middle of all that, we do peace and we do hope. And those are things that are in our heart, that are internal things. We find internal peace. We find peace. We find hope where we can. And then all of a sudden, there's joy. This is going to work, I promise. Or not. I'm just making a mess, Susan.
That's okay.
Well, sometimes
it's just stubborn.
It's just stubborn. But the difference is with joy is that joy is something that, you know, we can be peaceful, we can project peace. We can be hopeful, we can project hope. We can tell people that there is hope. But joy is something that we give out. Joy is something that comes, peace and hope come in within to make us meditate and consider what's going on inside of our soul. But then as a result of that, the expression is the expression of joy. And that's one of the reasons that today I find that the message is not so much what we're waiting for, but what it is that we're supposed to be doing. And as we think about what's about to happen, both the manger and then into, we continue the story, and we know the story of the death and resurrection, that we begin to really take note, to really understand, and to really consider not only what we are waiting for, but what we have to do while we are waiting. And what that comes down to then is the gift of grace. Because see, we think we're waiting for some stuff. Well, we are. But we also really have something. We have the gift of grace. That's amazing. And that gift is going to be told to us over the next few months in the birth story and then the Easter story. The gift of grace. Now, this is where I wish that I had my paper, because Frederick Buechner wrote a really lovely little thing on grace that I was going to share with you. But what I'll do is I'll send it out on the website so that you all can see it. So, do you have anything you want to say? You can't believe that I didn't have my notes? Huh? An extra carrot for lunch? Okay. So, grace. What does grace mean to you? Just take a minute and think about that. What does grace mean to you? And some people, you know, oh, well, that's what we say before we eat. We are thankful. Grace has the dimension of thanks. Grace has the dimension, though, of that unconditional love that is rooted in our story coming up in a couple of weeks. So since I don't have my quote, I am going to, I don't know, I feel like there's something else to say. So I'm just going to have a silent moment while I just think about that. I know what it is. It's the message that we find in James today. James, right? Let's just look at that together, can we? Oh, look what I found. Look at that. Okay. But I do want to say something about James before I do this. And this is the best little pericope of biblical telling, if you will, or lecturing, if you will, or teaching about what it means to wait on the Lord. We wait for so many things. We wait. The farmer waits for his crop. We wait for answers to questions. we try to be patient, but it's not always easy. And James says, strengthen your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is near. Do not grumble against one another, so that you may not be judged. So that's another part of this whole Advent thing that we need to consider, is how do we treat and love one another? So I just want to share this, what Fred Buechner says. And in preparation for that, my thought is, that I wrote down, coming to Advent, we get refocused and we anticipate the divine wonder that is about to happen at Christmas. And we rekindle, symbolized by the lighting of our candles, our hope, peace, and today joy. In all of this is reflected the ultimate message of grace that is the culmination of the waiting now and the waiting that we anticipate at Easter in the full Jesus story. Buechner says, give us grace, that we may cast off the works of darkness and put upon us the armor of light. We who live much of the time in the darkness are waiting not just at Advent, but at all times for the advent of light, of that ultimate light that is redemptive and terrifying at the same time. It is redemptive because it puts an end to the darkness, and that is also why it is terrifying. Because for so long, for all our lives, the darkness has been home. And because to leave home is always cause of terror. So wait for Christ to come in his fullness, not just a passive thing, a pious, prayerful, churchly thing, but on the contrary, to wait for Christ to come in his fullness is above all else to act in Christ's stead, as fully as we know how to. To wait for Christ is as best we can be to Christ and to those who need us to be Christ to them, and to bring them the most that we have, the most that we have of Christ's healing and hope, because unless we bring it, it may never be brought at all. So as the wise men did and as the shepherds did, and they brought their gifts of presents and other gifts, let us consider what gifts we will bring to Jesus this Christmas, and then what gifts we will take into the world from us to express the love and the light of Jesus. Amen. I failed to welcome Sage and Sullivan, who are joining me this morning. I appreciate their presence. And